Committee on Consumer Protection and Public Affairs for today, Thursday, February 18th, 2012. I'm going to start by opening a public hearing on House Bill 3610. We did have a public hearing on this bill on Tuesday, and we considered a couple of amendments at that time. And we now, I did point out that Representative Richardson was planning to be here today, and I was going to ask Representative Richardson to come forward, and I believe you have some constituents with you who wanted to testify or tell their story as well. So welcome to the committee, Representative Richardson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. The constituents are here just to observe unless there's a question that they would need to answer. I appreciate the opportunity to come forward. When we were first contemplating, I'm Dennis Richardson, I'm state representative for District 4 in Southern Oregon. And on the House side on this bill, when we were first discussing the proposed bill, certain individuals that have interest in this issue came forward and wanted to know why we would want to change from the current wording of the statute to a 5-day to filing an affidavit not later than 5 days before the statute. And I said I would look further into it. And so I've considered the intention of Senate Bill 628 when it was passed last session and where it's at presently. And as a result, I'm here to propose to the committee the Dash 6 amendments, which actually would require that before a foreclosure sale can take place, that the affidavit that's presented by the foreclosing parties must establish that they are the real parties in interest. In other words, that they have the right to actually conduct this foreclosure. The reason this is needed is that after the meltdown in the tech boom in about the year 2000, there was a whole change in investment procedures, and we created the Wall Street bankers and others created investments utilizing secured collateral, using loans as collateralization for bonds that were sold all over the world. And there has been, as a result, many assignments that have taken place that are not shown in the normal course of property transactions. Generally, under Oregon law, when there's an assignment of a piece of property, that assignment gets recorded. And then if it's assigned again, it also gets recorded and so forth, so that a borrower would always know who is the lender or the lender's successor in interest. Well, presently, that is no longer the case. There is a representative for a whole series of borrowers that's called MERS, which is a mortgage electronic registration system, and they have assumed the position as a lender or a holder of beneficial interest. And as a result of this, borrowers don't have any idea, really, who is the lending party that has the note, that has the beneficial interest, and that is really going to be conducting the foreclosure. And so the Dash 6 amendments merely say that there needs to be a clarification, and that whoever is going to be conducting the foreclosure, before they conduct that sale, they need to file an affidavit, and that the affidavit needs to indicate clearly that they have the note and that they have that they are the real party in interest, and that they can show the series of transactions that gives them that authority. That's what it just levels the playing field and allows borrowers to have transparency to know who they're dealing with.
Thank you. And I apologize that we don't have the rest of the committee here for this public hearing. I thought they would be here. So I ask Senator Rosenbaum if she has any questions. And Representative Richardson, if you're going to be around, I think what I'd like to do is have you come back and explain that again when I have the other members of the committee, because there's just two of us here now. And so I did get this amendment. I think you sent the amendment to the committee administrator, and it's been available. It was distributed to the committee, but I'd just as soon have you explain the amendment to the committee when the rest of them are here. So I apologize. Do you have any questions, Senator Rosenbaum?
No, thank you.
Okay. They should be here soon, so if
right,
you
thank
can,
you.
I know if you have another committee or something, we can come and get
I'm right
you.
Right down the hall. I'm in the sustainability.
Sustainability. Okay, we'll come and get you when they're here. And in the meantime, I have three other people who are here, John Bartholomew, Sybil Hebb, and Angela Martin. And I know you signed up to discuss the Dash 7 amendment. There is now a Dash 8 that makes a one-word change from the Dash 7. It changes on, if you have the Dash 8, for those of you who are following along, it changes on the first page of the amendment, the calculation to any calculation. It was a one-word change from the 7 to the 8, and I wanted to let the committee know that we did consider a similar amendment on Tuesday, and I have been speaking with people from the industry on the wording, and we just got the Dash 8 back. And so in the meantime, we can hear from Sybil, Angela, and John, please. And hopefully you can address the Dash 8s. From you signed up to testify about the Dash 7s, but hopefully you can let us know how you feel about the Dash 8s as well.
Who wants to go first?
All right. Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is, for the record, is John Bartholomew. I am with the Oregon State Public Interest Research Group, OSPIRG. And I really want to thank you for your really, really hard work on, you know, improving the language in the now Dash 8 amendment for something that really is a simple idea. When a lender denies a loan modification, they should tell the homeowner in detail why. It gives the homeowner an opportunity to correct any erroneous information, and it should lead to more loan modifications, which is good for homeowners, good for communities, and good for stabilizing the economy. And regarding the Dash 6 amendment, let me state that we believe this is a good idea as well, as it makes a lot of sense for you know, in a foreclosure process, to be absolutely sure that the person foreclosing has a right to foreclose. With that, I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Who would like to go next?
Chair Bonamici, member of the committee. Angela Martin with Our Oregon. Simply want to go on record in support of House Bill 3610-8 amendment. Thank you for your work on this. We believe this will increase transparency for homeowners, provide them the information they need to understand where they stand in the loan modification process. So with that, I again say thank you.
Thank you. Sybil?
Chair Bonamici, Senator Rosenbaum, I'll add my voice to the chorus of appreciation, and I think that the Dash 8 amendments provide a good balance. They go about implementing the purpose of the bill that you all passed last session, Senate Bill 628, and ensuring that there is an analysis and a look at the borrower's specific circumstances before determining whether or not they're qualified for a modification. And it's a reasonable provision to require that there be an explanation of the and a provision of the calculation to the borrower so that they understand what's going on. I further would note that the bill does a good job of making it clear that any of the banks participating in the HAMP program and following those directives have, in fact, met the burden that's or the requirement that's imposed by the bill. And so we think it's fair and reasonable and will go a long way towards helping people understand what's going on. So
thank you. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3610, but I will be reopening that when we have other members present.
She's in another committee. Can she come for the 3699?
Because the other bill we could just knock out.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
But I need another person.
Can she come? Can you vote?
I think so. She's in revenue.
Okay. Revenue? I'm on revenue. We're not meeting until 3 o'clock.
She's at LRO, I guess.
Well,
you know she is. Please excuse us. We're trying to find one more committee member. I think she's in the legislative revenue. Please stand at ease.
Just waiting for committee members. I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 3699 and ask Lori to summarize the bill and have the people who are here to explain that come forward, please.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3699 allows a partnership or joint venture to offer or submit a bid to perform construction work if a named partner or joint venturer is properly licensed and endorsed for the work. It designates an effective date of July 1st, 2010. There's no revenue impact and no fiscal impact.
Thank you. We have Brian Krieg, John Rakowitz, and Craig Smith, please.
Good afternoon. For the record, John Rakowitz with the Associated General Contractors of Oregon, and we are the group that requested that Representative Holvey introduce this bill, and so I'll do a quick explanation. We believe it actually qualifies as a technical fix to extend current law and avoid really what is an unintended consequence. Current law allows a joint venture to bid a project, two or more companies, as long as one member of the joint venture holds a license and the correct endorsement for that project. There have been no problems, to the best of our knowledge, with that current law. In researching this, what we've discovered is changes that have occurred over the course of a couple of biennia led to renumbering of laws, and that this particular element simply got left on the drawing board. So effective July 1, it would, what if we do not extend current law, but, which is what this bill would do, the joint venture itself, the separate entity, would have to somehow try to get a CCB license and meet all the requirements, bonding, insurance, etc., associated with that license. In the current environment, particularly for smaller contractors, that could be next to impossible, certainly expensive. Often when a project comes up in the current environment, you will see contractors try to figure out how they can put together a bid with two or three different contractors so that they can bid on the job. This would not change the fact that in order to perform the work, that joint venture would have to be licensed and provide all the consumer protections, the bonding and insurance requirements and protections. So with that, I think I'll just end. That's really what the whole bill is about. We discovered this by accident, and we have talked to any and everybody we can in the last 4 weeks. To our knowledge, there is no opposition whatsoever to this.
Good to know. Thank you. Craig, you're in the middle. Would you like to go next?
Senator Bonamici and members of the committee, Craig Smith, Construction Contractors Board. I think John explained the purpose of the bill. It has come in late, but I think it makes a lot of sense. I talked with the chair of the board today, who is a commercial contractor down in Southern Oregon, and he indicated that this type of situation comes up. He's a smaller contractor. This actually, I think, will help benefit smaller contractors. And I've provided some written testimony, so I'll stop talking now, take any questions you may have.
Thank you so much. And Brian?
Chair Bonamici, members of the committee, Brian Krieg, today representing the Sheet Metal and Air Conditioning Contractors Association, the Plumbing and Mechanical Contractors Association, and the Sheet Metal Workers of Local 16. Here to support this measure. It is a needed one. It's one that is very important for big contractors and small contractors. If we don't extend the current law and the current practice, the three things are going to happen. We're going to end up with more red tape, greater expenses, and some uncertainty, because a lot of times in the bidding process we have a very short window, and trying to actually get that license taken care of, even if just to bid, not saying we're even going to get the work, but just to try and get it together during that short amount of time, and bidding is a very crazy process in construction. It's going to end up precluding some contractors and a lot of smaller ones from maybe actually going ahead and trying to bid. So in this particular economic times, getting rid of red tape, extra expenses, and uncertainty would be a big help. So we really encourage you to extend the law by passing this bill.
Thank you for your testimony. Any questions? Senator Dredd.
I just want to thank the people for coming up to my office and filling me in on the bill. Looks like a good bill, and I think we're ready to move forward from, at least as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you. Questions? Nope. Senator Rosenbaum? All right. That's it. Thank you so much. I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3699 and open a work session on House Bill 3699.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3699 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Girard moves House Bill 3699 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Pam, would you please call the roll?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. And Senator George is excused. House Bill 3699 moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And Senator Girard, would you please carry this bill?
Sure.
Last chance.
Sure.
This is your last
almost
chance.
Your last chance.
I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 3699. I'm going to reopen a public hearing on House Bill 3610. And because some of our members were missing before, I'm going to ask Representative Richardson to come back up. And I'm sorry about this. This is not typical procedure, but I'm going to ask you to present your testimony again because we had several members missing when you testified before. So if you would please present your testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Dennis Richardson, State Representative for District 4 in Southern Oregon, and I'm here to propose acceptance of Dash 6 amendments to House Bill 3610. A problem faced as a result of Senate Bill 628 last year by borrowers is knowing who the lender is and who has the power, the beneficial interest, to actually make a modification to a loan. Under the current technique of using the Mortgage Electronic Registration System, MERS, as a conduit for the multiple assignments of loans required to bundle thousands of loans that are collateralized into securities for Wall Street, Oregon's laws requiring recording of assignments of beneficial interest have been circumvented. As a result of this bundling of loans, the multiple assignments conducted under MERS umbrella, an Oregon borrower often cannot determine what lender is the real party in interest. So House Bill 3610-6 amendments merely require that the foreclosing party file as part of their affidavit proof that they have the note and that they are the real party in interest and have the right to actually pursue with the foreclosure.
Thank you. Are there questions? Senator Dredd.
I just don't have the dash 6. I got the dash 4s, 5s, and 8s.
I think the dash 6s were distributed yesterday.
Senator Dredd, mine was in my file.
Yeah.
It was distributed yesterday. I didn't think I had it either, but I do.
There's a copy. Right there.
Yep.
And I might have an extra one, too.
If you bear with us for just a minute. While our members look at the amendment.
I have it. But
which amendments does the chair
Senator Burdick, do you have yours?
Wish?
I do.
You do.
Yeah.
Are there any questions? Representative Richardson?
I have a procedural question.
Yes.
So if we were to adopt more than one set of amendments to this bill, will we need them to be reviewed again for the fiscal and all that?
No.
I believe not, because we have no fiscal impact statements on each amendment.
I think they're reconciled.
Blended,
right,
yeah.
So they're right.
So are all the amendments included in the dash 8?
No, they are not. They're independent. We are we talked about the dash 4 amendments on Tuesday and what was then the dash 5 amendments. And just to clarify, the dash 5 amendments have been rewritten. The dash 8 amendments are something that I've been working on. That is a rewrite of what used to be the dash 5 amendments. And the purpose of the dash 8 amendment is to get more information to the homeowner about the reasons for a denial if the request for loan modification is denied. And Representative Richardson is here with the dash 6 amendments. We also have the dash 4 amendment that we talked about on Tuesday, and that is the amendment that changes, basically change. There's some language fixes, and then it changes on or before the date to at or before the time. in two places in the original bill.
And then, Madam Chair, the dash sevens are...
The dash sevens are now the dash eights.
Okay.
There was a one-word change between the dash seven and the dash eight in response to a concern about dash seven said the calculation. Dash eight was changed to any calculation in case there is not necessarily a calculation. So the dash eights replaced the dash sevens, which used to be the dash fives. So any questions for Representative Richardson about the dash six amendment?
Thank you.
Is there anyone else here to testify about any of these amendments?
If I may, just for a moment. Madam Chair, Paul Cosgrove, representing Oregon Financial Services Association. As your staff knows, when we saw the dash sevens and the dash eights are now replacing the dash sevens, there was a conversation with some folks who actually understand the HAMP program, and I think I made it pretty clear yesterday that I am aware of it and I've read it, but my lenders aren't participating in the HAMP program. I just wanted to make clear that as drafted, the dash eights require both that the calculations be revealed as well as the reason for denial or the basis for denial, if both exist. And I have now learned that the calculations under HAMP, which are evidently changing repeatedly, frequently, as new directives come out from the federal agency, are, as was described today to me, college-level calculus that go on for 4 or 5 pages. So in this bill, I just want to make it clear for the record what is being required of those people who do HAMP is providing to borrowers calculations that are complicated and hard to decipher with net present values and a variety of other things that may raise more confusion amongst the borrowing public than illumination. As I said yesterday, my members don't do HAMP. I just wanted to put that on the record on behalf of the attorneys who represent the two different kinds of entities, and both of them, I've discussed this with their attorneys. They're both in another room dealing with another bill. That is a concern. Thank you. Happy to answer questions if I can.
And I do want to also point out that it also says an explanation of the calculation and the basis for the denial, which is the goal, as the committee knows, we discussed, the goal is to make sure that the borrower is getting information that explains the reasons for the denial. That's the goal of the Dash 8 amendments. It does require that information be given to the borrower, and I brought the Dash 8 amendment forward for that purpose.
If I may, I've not seen the Dash 6s before today. That does affect my client and other lenders similarly situated, and I think we would have some concerns about establishing a new civil cause of action with respect to attachments made to this affidavit of copies of the original debt instrument and all the conveyances. As the committee may know, when a note is assigned, the physical note is often transferred, or in this day and age, evidence of the assignment is transferred to the new entity. When a trust deed or security interest that's been recorded is transferred, there's a record in the property records. So it could be quite voluminous, the kinds of attachments you're talking about. And should there be a fraudulent, which is one thing, or a material misrepresentation of fact, which could be innocent, you're granting a new cause of action against the person who put together the affidavit for damages, cost disbursements, and attorney's fees. And I don't believe any of us have seen the Dash 6 before today, and I expect that there might be some concerns about that provision.
Any questions?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Burdick?
You said that the Dash 8 said that they had to describe the calculation, but the language says that it has to provide the grantor with any calculation.
Madam Chair, Senator Burdick, I think if you look on line, starting at line 15, it's actually starting in line 17, shall provide the grantor with any calculation. That's what I understand is the several pages of mathematics.
Right. And also...
And any other basis. And then along with an explanation of the calculation, which is on line 19. Right. These are difficult to describe, and they're difficult to explain. And that's, as I say, what I've learned today from people who actually are familiar with it. And it may raise more questions than it answers.
I'm just wondering if that couldn't be just changed to just have an explanation of the denial, the basis for the denial.
Madam Chair, Senator Burke, that would have been my thought as well.
Thank you, Senator Burdick. Mr. Cosgrove, as you know, this is the last day for the committee to meet, and we have made, I've been talking with Tim Martinez in particular about this, and that wasn't a concern that he raised. He raised a concern about the calculation, which is why we changed it to any calculation.
Madam Chair, it's actually the Bankers Council who I spoke with, as well as the Credit Unions Council, who raised the concerns I expressed. It may not have been Mr. Martinez, but I don't know that he had yet talked to his council. But I did within the last hour, both councils.
Thank you.
When did the amendments come out? They just came out today, right?
Yeah. Well, the Dash 7s have been out. They were out yesterday, I believe. But I had several conversations with Mr. Martinez yesterday throughout the day. The Dash 8 only changed the word "the" to "any" on the first page on line 17. So any other questions for Mr. Cosgrove? Okay. I'm going to stand at ease.
I'm continuing the public hearing on House Bill 3610. And it's my understanding that Mr. Martinez wanted to submit some testimony at this point.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Tim Martinez here on behalf of the Oregon Bankers Association and the United Financial Lobby. I'm not sure I wanted to submit testimony, but I'm happy to be here before you. The two sets of amendments that I would like to address are the Dash 6 and the Dash 8. The Dash 6 we cannot support. This bill, underlying bill, started out as a fairly simple bill in the House, and we certainly commend you, Madam Chair, for your efforts in the Dash 8s and in other sets of amendments that this has gone through over the last couple of days. But the Dash 6 is a brand new concept. It appears at, I just saw it 10 minutes ago, but it appears on its face to be a fairly expensive activity. If you look on page 2, where in starting lines 23, evidence of the chain of title and clean conveyances, endorsements, assignments of the residential trustee, note and security interest from the date of the original loan to the date of the affidavit. Well, if it was simply just the chain of title, we could do that with the title report. But when you add all those other things, you bring up a lot of new costs that would be ultimately paid by the consumer. So we don't support the sixes and would encourage you to not move forward on those. On the eights, we continue to get closer to what we're all looking for and all want to support. I don't think you're there yet. I understand your council is now working on dash nines that would simply, as I understand it, make reference to the borrower notice that in Supplemental Directive 0908, which is currently in the Dash 8 amendments, and take out the calculation piece. That's closer to something that we could support. I would say the main concern that we have on that, and I know we brought that directive to your attention, is what's going to happen 30 days from now, 60 days from now, 6 months from now, when the federal government goes in a different direction. They have, as you know, in the last couple of years, zigged and zagged all over the map on this particular process and on the lending crisis and the real estate crisis. So that would be our only concern, is what happens down the road when that changes. Would the legislature expect us to continue to apply an out-of-date directive, or would we be able to use the new direction at the federal government, because we certainly wouldn't want to have to do both.
Madam Chair.
Senator Burdick.
My background on federal versus state is in the pollution area, but isn't it true that if the feds adopt a standard and it's stricter, that it would preempt us? And if it's weaker, that our standard would stay in effect?
Madam Chair, Senator Burdick, I believe that's generally the case. Again, the federal government in this area has been in so many different directions. It's we're just a little nervous about which direction they go next and how it would fit with this law. Now, obviously, one of the nice things about meeting this year is you're going to be back in less than 10 months, and if they do go in a completely different direction, we would have that opportunity to look at that time, I would hope.
Just to clarify, when we started having these conversations, because the Dash 5 amendments did not have that language in there about the directive, that information came from the directive, because after conversations with you, we were trying to make it clear that if there was a lender that was in the HAMP program, the federal HAMP program, that does require particular notices, that would be compliance with the information that needs to be given pursuant to this amendment. But the whole goal is to get more information to the borrower about the reason for denial. So it was drafted that way to make it clear that a HAMP lender was in compliance if they were giving that information. I'm more than a bit concerned that we've worked on this, and I thought we had the right language, and we don't at this point. I'm committed to trying to get something done here, and what I'm going to do, it's 5 to 2 now, is I'm going to recess this committee, and we're going to come back at 5 o'clock. I'm going to work. I hope you're in the building, Mr. Martinez. I'm going to work with you in trying to get something that we can support with that goal, because you agree that the goal
role is there to try to get the information to the borrower. So at this point, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3610 and recess until 5 o'clock. We'll let you know. I know some people on other committees. It's my intention to make this very quick so that we can look at this. I'll get the information to you as soon as possible. I'll do my best in tracking down Mr. Martinez.
We have to be out.
We'll decide that at this at that time.